This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Within the first 100 days of becoming president in 1933, Franklin Delano Roosevelt passed 76 pieces of legislation. Compare that to John Kennedy's 26 or George W. Bush's 7. Barack Obama did slightly better than his predecessor, turning it up to 11. A far cry from the numbers in the first half of the 20th century. There's been a lot of talk about those first 100 days of a new administration. But for a country that feels like it's been in deadlock for years, how much can really be achieved in just over 3 months? And is it really a useful metric? Julia Azari is Associate Professor of Political Science at Marquette University and author of Delivering the People's Message: The Changing Politics of the Presidential Mandate. She wrote about why a president's first 100 days really do matter for 538. Julia, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
100 days seems like an arbitrary amount of time, though a nice round number. But you did find there is a demonstrable honeymoon effect during this period. What is the honeymoon effect?
The honeymoon effect is something presidential scholars like to talk about. That means the presidents have enjoy a little cushion of support from the public and from members of Congress in that early on in their presidency. And so sometimes this is marked by 3 months and sometimes it's marked by 100 days. You're right that pretty much all metrics are a little arbitrary in terms of when we cut them off. But it seems like over the course of the 20th century, this has been really concentrated in that late January, February, March, and through April. And that by the summer, it's usually gone.
The first 100 days, still important, but a lot less productive than in the days of FDR. What did he accomplish in those first 100 days?
Right. So FDR's first 100 days, the context is important here. So it's the Great Depression, and also FDR in 1933 was the last president to be inaugurated in March. So there was a really long period between when he was elected and when he actually took office, and Hoover was becoming less and less popular, and people were growing more and more frustrated during that time, and the crisis was very broad and very deep. So when FDR came in, among some of his accomplishments, this you see the creation of the modern social safety net, Social Security. Basically, immediately upon taking office, he unilaterally declared a national banking holiday and then reopened the banks. So there was some banking reform done in that time. For FDR, there was this kind of dual impetus to fix things immediately and kind of provide immediate relief for people, create jobs programs. Some of that also occurred in the first 100 days. But also, like I said, to really restructure the relationship between government and the economy. And so in the post-industrial economy in that context of the Depression. So that's the FDR story. And this 100 days, again, it sounds good. It's a round number. That's where that comes from.
Why the slump in productivity in those first 100 days since?
Well, I think there's a bunch of reasons for that. Some of the research by other people that I cite suggests that some of that has to do with reforms to the way Congress does business that basically give more people a say at the subcommittee level, kind of slows things down. Another reason I think that we see some of these more recent slumps are that it just takes a long time to build a coalition. When you don't have a crisis like the Great Depression, it takes a longer time to get all of the president's party together if there's unified control or to attract members from the other party, that just to get everybody together on a piece of legislation and agree on not just what the problem is and not just that something should be done in a kind of general direction, but those specifics, right? That is where legislation really becomes complex, is in what it's actually going to look like. Building a winning coalition takes, I think, a long time. And I think that accounts for the slump in productivity that we see among more recent presidents.
And when did we really start to see that?
So, I mean, it kind of depends, right? There's a big drop-off between FDR, the FDR-Truman years, and then Eisenhower. So Eisenhower and Kennedy had legislative success in the 20s. As you pointed out in the beginning, I think there was another kind of drop-off, Bill Clinton, the number of bills is 24, George W. Bush, it's 7, and Obama, it's 11. That's not to say that's such a break with history, right? That's kind of actually right on par with Nixon and Reagan. But I think that we're likely to see that be a longer-term change, where we don't see these just like huge numbers of bills coming out of Congress. And also, I should say, you know, those are raw numbers of how many laws, right? Not all laws are created equal. And so it's possible that we will see, to contradict what I just said, lots and lots of smaller bills coming out of an early Congress, but not so many of these signature proposals. That, I think, is really, the numbers don't show this, is really the key difference between George W. Bush and Barack Obama and their predecessors, is that their signature legislation came well after that 100 days.
So more coalition building needed, more layers of decision-making in the legislative process have slowed this down. Mm-hmm. But presidents can use executive action and executive powers.
Yes.
How have those been used by other presidents in these first 100 days?
Right. So again, that we see that varies. And that kind of peaked in the mid-20th century with Truman, Eisenhower, JFK, and Johnson. And it's kind of dropped off since, although it rose back up a bit with Obama with 19 of those. And I think some of that has to do with the content of the issues that are facing the president. A number of those executive orders in that mid-20th century period either have to do with labor policy and how labor policy is implemented or with civil rights. So JFK, for example, created an Equal Opportunity Office within the White House with an early executive order. Early executive orders, if you look at them, especially recently, have been very focused. This is true of other things that aren't called executive orders, memoranda, executive agreements with other countries. We're going to see a lot of that. These things now are very much focused on undoing the priorities of the predecessor and illustrating that sharp break with the past. That's not a totally new phenomenon in politics, but I think that how central it is a little bit new.
So given what the data says about the administrations, can those first 100 days really be a useful yardstick of how productive an administration will be?
A high number of bills probably suggests, okay, this is a unified government that's moving in, in a particular kind of policy direction and whose priorities are clear, and whose priorities are clearly articulated by the president. On the other hand, I think the smaller number of bills with Bush and Obama kind of suggest this is a closely divided nation. This is a painstaking process of coalition building. And so even though I wouldn't say that either Bush or Obama really didn't get stuff done or wasn't legislatively productive, these are both very consequential presidencies, those low number of early bills tells us that neither of them was able to ride into town and tell everybody how it was going to be.
Julia Azari, Associate Professor of Political Science at Marquette University and author of Delivering the People's Message. Thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you so much.
Julia wrote the article, A President's First 100 Days Really Do Matter for 538. You'll find a link to read that story at our website, wordofmouthradio.org.